Good morning. This is Mark Mays, pastor of Grace Baptist Church in Harrisonburg, Virginia. Once again, it's good to be with you this morning. Let's ask the Lord to help us as we spend a few moments together. Father, we are thankful, Lord, for this day. We're thankful for the opportunity that you've given to us, Lord, to take time out of our lives and busy schedules. Lord, to sometimes just to sit down and think about God's Word, what it means to us and the instructions that it gives us. And I'm asking you, Lord, this morning that you'd help us. May you allow the Holy Spirit, Father, to illuminate your word, give us wisdom, give us discernment. And Father, may what we see in your word, may it take effect in our hearts and our lives, and may it change us. May it transform us into that person you want us to be. I pray for your help this morning. Bless us now, please. In Jesus' name, amen. I'm in the book of Proverbs, from chapter 21, and I'm in verse 11, and I'm going through the book of Proverbs looking for biblical principles for practical living. My contention is this, that we as Christians, we need to make sure and check ourselves, double check, triple check ourselves all the times, checking ourselves to make sure that we are in fact living by biblical principles as opposed to by our emotions. We all have emotions. God has given us emotions, of course. We have the emotions of joy, happiness, laughter, anger, wrath. Our emotions can swing from one end of the pendulum back to the other, and they can happen very rapidly at some times. And sometimes, because of our human nature, we have a tendency to allow our emotions to determine our actions instead of principle. In other words, we act out based upon what we feel versus or instead of acting out what we know to be true as a fact that God's Word teaches us as a principle. And so what we're looking for, principles. We're in chapter 21, I said just a moment ago, verse 11. When the scorner is punished, the simple is made wise, and when the wise is instructed, he receiveth knowledge. I want to take this morning and take a few moments and try to develop this verse and just sort of try to speak to our hearts and our minds and let the Holy Spirit help us. When the scorner is punished, the simple is made wise. When you look at this verse and you begin to sit back and think about it and sort of try to digest what's being said, in reality, and just a short way of saying it, it's basically dealing with the subject of dealing with error in a public arena. In a sense, when the scorner is punished, the simple is made wise. When that scorner, that word scorner, carries the one who, somebody who scoffs, makes fun of, laughs, repudiates truth. When that person is punished, the simple is made wise. Now, the only way the simple would be made wise is if the simple was in the presence of the scorner when he both became scornful and then was punished for it. So that's how the simple is made wise. In other words, the simple learns something about life by viewing the activity of this scorner in his actions and then seeing the consequences that are brought to bear upon him. So it's dealing with a public setting, if you would, and that public setting could be in a courthouse. Somebody's committed a crime and now they're going to be dealt with in a public arena. It could be in a school setting, classroom setting. It could be as simple as in a home where there are several children and one of the children acts up, gets in trouble, and the other children are watching to see what is it that dad and mom are going to do about our brother's or our sister's activities. And so, in other words, this idea of somebody has seen or somebody's aware of the wrong that's been committed, and they're going to be around and they're going to take note of the consequences of that person's actions. And that's sort of the idea that we're talking about. Now, when we think about this, we think, well, how do I deal out justice for actions that are improper? How do I do it as a parent? How do I do it as a school teacher? How do I do it as a citizen of this great country? How do we handle these situations where people have gone off and they've done things that they should not have done, and now they need to be dealt with? Well, when you get to thinking about this, if the answer is not as point blank, you know, it's just, you know, black and white as you think, and yet it is at the same time. Some of the things I think we need to think about and consider, the Bible says in the book of Romans chapter 2, starting in verse 3 and 4, the Bible says, "And thinkest thou this, O man, that thou that judgest them that do this, which do the same things, or do such things, and doest the same, that thou shalt escape the judgment of God? Or despisest thou the riches of his goodness and forbearance and longsuffering, not knowing that the goodness of God leadeth thee to repentance?" Now, this particular verse, I think, is talking about God's long-suffering, God's patience with us, his forbearance, his goodness to us. In other words, the Bible teaches us that God has not dealt with us according to our iniquities. We all know that. If we got what we deserve, we would die and go to hell and probably already be there. The wages of sin is death. But God's been long-suffering to us. He's given forbearance. He's given us his goodness. And in this verse, the Bible says, "Knowing that the goodness of God leadeth thee to repentance." So God is teaching us that the goodness of God, when we recognize, you know, God hasn't dealt with me accordingly as I could have been dealt with. And God says when we recognize, that leads to repentance. In other words, it causes an action, a reaction within us. You say, you know what, I deserve worse, but you know, God's been so good to me, I sure do want to live right. I want to honor his forbearance. I want to honor his long-suffering. I don't want to take advantage of it. And because God's been so good to me, I'm going to try that much harder to do right. That's sort of the idea here that we see in Romans chapter 2. The Bible says in the book of Proverbs chapter 16, it talks about mercy and truth. Mercy and truth. Well, mercy and truth, the Bible says, by mercy and truth, iniquity is purged. And by the fear of the Lord, men depart from evil. Well, mercy is God not giving to us what we do deserve. That's exactly what Romans 2 was talking about there. God is not giving to us what we do deserve. Now, truth, on the other hand, is getting what's coming to us. Truth is the facts. It's the hard facts. So, but the Bible says mercy and truth. I need mercy in my life. If I didn't get mercy, I could be callous and hardened. And it would be very difficult not to have mercy. And mercy tenders my heart. And mercy prepares me to have an attitude to do better or to attempt to do better. Truth, though, is very harsh sometimes. Truth will either smack you in the face or pat you on the back, but it depends on what side of truth you're on. Truth doesn't cut any corners. It just lays out the facts. As we would say, it's hard to argue with the facts. And truth would be the harshness on just the opposite side of mercy. It is the reality of it. It doesn't hide it. It doesn't take away any of the shame. It doesn't diminish any of the effects. I mean, it's just a raw truth, as harsh as it is sometimes. Mercy sort of covers. Mercy is patience. Mercy is forbearance in action. And God says the combination of these two, by the combination of these two, iniquity is purged. God says we need mercy and we need truth. We need leniency sometimes, and sometimes we need harshness. And so when we go back to Proverbs 21, verse 11, when the scorner is punished, the simple is made wise, we have to ask ourselves this biblical principle: how should I deal with those under my authority, my children or my classroom or somebody that I have a responsibility to deal with that has done something wrong? How do I deal with that person? Because I don't want to harm them. I don't want to crush their spirit. I don't want to undermine the effort of trying to help them. And we all need help, and we all have made mistakes, and we've all failed. So I don't want to ruin that situation, but at the same time, I don't want to allow wrong to go unchallenged and uncorrected. And so I'm in a sort of conundrum here. What do I do? Well, I think when we go back to the Bible, there's a combination that we need to apply, and that is mercy and truth. The Bible says in 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 20, "Them that sin rebuke before all, that others also may fear." Now, that's sort of the same idea here in verse 11. When the scorner is punished, the simple is made wise. Paul says to Timothy them that sin rebuke before all, that others may also fear. Well, does that mean we take somebody who's done some sin in a private setting? No one's aware of it. Do we bring that person and his sin out into public and bring shame upon him? I don't think that's at all what it's talking about. But what I think it is talking about is this. When an activity is done in the public arena where others have seen it and others are aware of it because they know what took place, they know who did what, when that happens, dealing with that person who's done the sin, who's done the error, needs to be dealt with perhaps a little bit differently, or it causes for a little bit more wisdom and discernment than those who've done something in private. And so when we look at this, how are we going to help somebody? Well, we've got to get them truth, so we can't deny them truth or we can't help them. Proverbs says, buy mercy and truth. It's not one or the other, but it's the combination of the truth, of those two rather, that iniquity is purged. It's done away with. It's cleaned out. So we have to have truth. We must have truth. You can't get away. And so it has to be dealt with in truth. But at the same time, we must have mercy, long-suffering, forbearance. So I think the idea, for at least the way I see it, is simply God is teaching me that, you know, if I'm dealing with somebody, if it's one of my children, or if it's in my Sunday school class or whatever, and people are aware of some activity, and that activity cannot be allowed to go unchallenged. It must be dealt with. If it is committed in a public arena, in a public setting, then it needs to be dealt with in a public setting so that the simple will be made wise, so that others also may fear. But I think if that error has been done in private or just very few are aware of it, then I think it needs to be dealt with in that manner, both with mercy and with truth. There are times when it calls for severity in dealing with errors that humanity makes. Sometimes the severity is quite severe, capital punishment. Sometimes it is long terms of imprisonment. Sometimes it's very harsh, and sometimes it needs to be because the activity that has been engaged in requires that in a public setting, this be dealt with, not only for the person who's committed the crime or the wrong, but for everybody else who's made aware, so that they will say, hey, you know what? You see what happened to that person? Don't go and do that stuff. The consequences are too severe. And learn from that person's mistakes, lest you end up in the same place. And I think that's important in our society. And I personally believe one of the reasons our society has gotten to where it is because too much of public shame has not been dealt with. We've been too full of, dare I say, the mercy. I'm all for mercy. But if you give all mercy, all leniency, then nobody learns anything. Nobody. The person who committed the crime doesn't learn anything. The people who watched the crime being committed and gotten by with, they haven't learned anything. You can't just have mercy. You've got to have truth as well. You've got to deal with the subject. You've got to deal with the matter at hand. And you've got to exercise proper judgment and have discernment. So God is teaching us here as parents. I suppose maybe perhaps the best application this morning is when we're dealing with our bus kids, we're dealing with our Sunday school class, we're dealing with our children at home. Learn to ask God to give us, is this a public thing that needs to be dealt with publicly, or is it something I can deal with privately? And there's a principle here that God wants us to get. There's a lot more to it than I've gotten into this morning, but I hope it's enough to cause us to think about this. When we have the responsibility as adults to exercise judgment upon something, be careful that we do it in a biblical manner. Don't do it because it made you mad. Don't do it because you're angry, but do it through a biblical principles. Don't respond with just complete compassion and mercy. Throw some truth in there. But don't be so harsh where you just have the facts and figures and you don't have some leniency. Have the combination. It's the mixture of the two that purges iniquity. And I believe if we'll seek God on this, God will give us wisdom how to deal with these situations that come up in our lives individually, to help the person who committed the wrong and help those who've been made aware of the wrong, so that both of those, both parties, can learn from it and it can be a help. May God give us wisdom in this matter. I thank you for listening, and you have a great day.